We light this fourth Advent candle to remind us of our calling to reflect the light of Jesus in this dark world. Jesus said, "You are the world's light. Let your light shine in the sight of men.
Let them see the things you do, and praise your Father in heaven."
I would have. Yeah. lost more than all the clans of Judea. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labour bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. And then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Great and will be called the Son of the Most High. throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ our Lord.
Reading is from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 23. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise God, our Lord.
Amen.
Make it more tricky by putting the computer this side, haven't I? Don't stand yet, let's give Eileen a chance to get back to that chair. Now you can stand.
When they had seen him,
They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
If you're able, let's stand together.
Getting there.
this is a really good opportunity for you to turn to the person next to you and say, what on earth is going on? Or what's your name? Where do you come from?
Fine.
And it's really nice to see you this Christmas Eve. So get a hit, you have permission. even though Sarah's been singing them around the house all the time. I've got a question to ask you. I thought it'd be fun to find out who's travelled the furthest to be with us today. So, anybody here from beyond Wollaston? Anybody here from Wollaston? Is there anyone here actually from Wollaston? That's good. And anybody, so from beyond Wollaston, who have we got from beyond Wollaston? Okay, you've got your hand up here. Where are you guys from? Earls Barton. We have one over here. At the back there. Hyme Ferrers. Bossier. Now, when I first came here, there were a couple living in Bossier, and I was informed that they had a mixed marriage, because one of them came from Bossier and one came from Wollaston. And it worried me a little bit. Did I see some hands over here? Yes?
Market Harbour.
Market Harbour. There's smooths from over here. They're obviously very impressed on this side. It's easy to impress this side, I think. Anybody else? Yeah?
Bournemouth.
Oh, wow. You've made quite a journey. Are you going back tonight? Oh, that's good. And there was a hand over in the corner?
Staffordshire.
Whereabouts?
Stoke-on-Trent.
Anybody else? Now, I know there wasn't a hand up, but I know there's somebody down here I'm going to come to in a moment. Yes?
Bletchley,
Milton Keynes. And whereabouts have you travelled from today? From Japan. Right. Okay, you win. Well, I don't think we're going to beat that. So, children, I'm going to talk to the adults for a couple of minutes. And the rules are you can make as much noise as you like, because I've got a microphone. There's musical instruments here. If you want to pick one up, if you want to walk around the church, make any noise with it, that's absolutely fine. And if you've got a baby with you, well done. And we're realistic baby crying noises, really welcome at this service, because that will remind us of the things that we're thinking about. And I want to talk to you just very briefly for a few minutes. I want to read another reading. I snooped this one in because I want to talk about some of the things in this piece of John's Gospel. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing that was made has been made. In him was life, and that life was the life of mankind. The light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I just want to draw your attention to a couple of things about Jesus in that passage. The first one, he is eternal. There is not a time when he was not. All of time and all of space exist in him, which makes him a bit difficult to understand, if I'm honest. can he answer my prayer that I forgot to pray when you asked me to pray about your driving test? And then when I next see you, I immediately panic and say, oh Lord, I meant to pray for that driving test. And he's already answered the prayer knowing that I would have forgotten and that I was going to pray. How can he do that? Because he's not inside of time like you and me. He's not inside of space like you and me. He is eternal. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, if you went to start the Bible right at the beginning in Genesis, those same three words would be there. In the beginning. He is God, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know, people still today, 2,000 years after Jesus' first appearing, still wonder about, is he really God? Yes, he is. Later on, Paul, a Christian, a follower of Jesus, who wrote letters to encourage churches, would write of him and say, in him all the fullness of God dwelt in bodily form. And there's some hints to that, isn't there, in the passage we read. We're told that he's involved in creation. Now that's only a God thing. We can't create. We can make, but we can't create. We're told that he is the life that makes the universe function. The life that when they killed him on a cross and buried him in a tomb, burst forth on the third day, because that life cannot be stifled, it cannot be put out, it cannot be killed, it certainly cannot come to an end. And that life, he puts not just into the universe, but he puts into his people. And we're told he is the light. I've got a greenhouse. And we've still got some tomatoes in our greenhouse. Because what my greenhouse does is it magnifies the effects of light on the plants that I put in the greenhouse. It's not just about the warmth that comes from the light. Otherwise, the plants would grow in my house, and they won't. But it's about the light itself. And this light, we're told, was life for us, but it's life for all of the planet. It takes just a few minutes for light to get to us from the sun. But if the sun went out, nothing on this planet would exist. Light is absolutely vital. These are all good things, aren't they? But we're also told that he was rejected. Isaiah, 750 years before Jesus was actually born, said he was despised and rejected by men. By us. He made this prophecy of what would happen to Jesus. And we know where it ended up, the rejection, don't we? And at Christmas time, we like to think about Jesus, the baby in the manger. But Jesus, the baby in the manger, is also Jesus, the saviour of the human race. And he was rejected. But, I've got a but, and it's a big one. Don't laugh at that, that's not a joke. Okay? But, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And not with us just for the 33 years of his first physical life on earth. But God with us for all eternity. Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, he defeated death. Death has no hold over him. When he returned to the Father, he promised that he would send to us someone to bring his presence to us day in and day out, the Holy Spirit. And he's done that. And we read, didn't we, that he wasn't received by his own, but to those who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. How do you become a child of God? I'm really glad you've come today. But it doesn't happen because you go to church. All going to church does is encourage you, give you access to some pretty good tea and coffee, hopefully introduce you to some people who will be kind to you and like you and love you and let you down from time to time. But it doesn't give you a right to be a child of God. Jesus himself gives you that right. How can he give you and me the right? Because as I said, he is God himself. He is God in human form. Nobody else can give you that right but God himself. And then this last bit, he is Emmanuel. This is the biggest but, isn't it? He is God with us. Which obviously leads us to a question. Because I know you go to church because I can see you. You might not go to church lots of times in the year. I don't know. Those of you that have travelled here, you might go to a church where you live. I don't know. But what I do know is that if God is with us, it brings me to the question, are you with God? Because that right to become children, we have lots of rights, but unless you exercise a right, it just remains a possibility. So how do we become children of God? Well, it's really simple. We have to acknowledge that Jesus is all those things I said he was, that he is eternal, he is the Son of God, that he is God in human form. He is all of that. And then we have to recognise that we're not perfect. That we do sin. It's not a word we use often, but basically it means anything that is less than what God really wanted of me. You probably think I never sin, but if you have a chat to Sarah, she'll tell you that actually I do. So, you have to acknowledge who God is. You have to recognise that you are a sinner. And you have to recognise that what Jesus did on the cross was actually enough. But you can't earn your way back into God's good books. You can't do it. There's nothing you can do that is good enough. You know, you've got to accept it as a gift. And then you've got to say, and because you've given me this gift, this new life, I'm going to live the rest of it with you. So the question really is, God is with us. Are we with him? And no one else can answer that for you. And it's probably something for you to think about, if you haven't thought about it already. And we're gonna sing our last congregational carol, and it's one that asks the question: who is he in yonder storm? Who is this babe? And as the song goes through, it answers that question in a number of ways. So if your legs are still working after I've had you sat down for so long, if you'd like to stand with me, we're going to sing "Who Is He in Yonder Storm." Let's stand if we can. Thank you. we sing that song? It'd be really helpful if the children could lead us musically with the instruments. And maybe a little bit of walking around the church with them to wake up anybody who's nodded off. That would be really cool and funky, says the monkey. The song is an ancient song of Christian blessing, and it's called We Wish You a Merry Christmas. We're leaving out all the verses that refer to fattening foods like piggy pudding and cups of good cheer. We've got some good cheer. I'm hoping warming on the stove. I didn't check if anybody turned it on. Has anybody turned it on?
Anybody at all? Could somebody go and turn it on? Just before we sing that ancient Christian blessing, we're going to use another ancient Christian blessing as a prayer. And this has some body language that goes along with it. And the body language is really simple. I don't know where you come from. I don't know who you live with. And I don't know what you do in your family, tribe, or whatever else you call the people that you live amongst. But in my family, when we acknowledge one another, we wink. So don't worry if I wink at you. It's not that personal. But the body language that goes along with this prayer is, I'm on your side. That's what it means. So if you do that like that, that's fine. If you do it with a wink, if you do it with a smile, or if you do it in a really English way, which is sort of an embarrassed, not looking them in the eye, and shuffling awkwardly from one foot to another, that's absolutely fine and funky. So we're going to say this ancient Christian prayer together, and then we're going to sing another Christian prayer. Here we go.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
And we're going to stand if we're able. We're going to sing this, and there's going to be a short gap. We're going to do it at least twice, because I'm going to go and join the children this evening and noise in Mark's hands.
Thank you.